when Moshe Rabbeinu was perceived to be dead, and the Jewish people came to Moshe Rabbeinu and asked Aaron, they came to Aaron HaKohen, and they asked him to make them an eagle, because Moshe, they didn't know what happened to him. He was up on Har Sinai and didn't come back within what they thought was the 40-day period. So they described the job description of Moshe Rabbeinu. What was his job description? What were they looking for? They told Aaron, Kum ase lanu Elohim, make us a power. Elohim doesn't mean a god, it means a power. Judges are called Elohim, angels are called Elohim, and God is called Elohim, because he is the power of all powers. But the word Elohim means a power. Make us a power, asher yelchu lefanenu, that will go before us. So they saw Moshe Rabbeinu's job description, the leader, as the one who goes before the people. Asher yelchu lefanenu, who will walk before us. In this coming week's Sedra, when Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to replace him, he's told he's going to die in the very near future. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yifkaud Hashem Elokei Haruchos Ish Al Ho'eda, may God appoint a man over the congregation, Asher Yetze Lifnehem V'Asher Yovo Lifnehem, who will go out from amongst them and come back to them. V'Asher Yotzi'ein V'Asher Yivien, who will bring them out and bring them back in. Completely different job description. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, give them a power, but give them a human being, who will not go before them, but come out from amongst them, go back to them. What's the difference between this description of what a leader is? So to illustrate the difference, I want to tell you a Gemara and two different interpretations, two different commentaries on that Gemara. And those two commentaries bring out the difference between how the Jewish people saw the purpose of a leader and how Moshe Rabbeinu saw it. The Gemara says, Mishi yeshlo chola besov deso, if a person has someone ill, Rachmana litzlan, in their home, so they should go, yelech etzel chacham, go to a Talmud chacham, v'yavakish rachmim olav. Now the Nemuke Yosef explains that Gemara the way that we all would explain it, the way that it's obviously meant to be. Go to a Talmud Chacham, and he will daven, yivakesh rachamim, and he will ask for mercy on the sick person. That's what you're supposed to do. Go to a Talmud Chacham, and he'll daven. The Meiri says a completely different interpretation. He says the following. You have someone sick in your home. Go to a Talmud Chacham, and he will teach you how to daven for that person. He won't daven. What do you need the tzaddik to daven for? He has a more direct line than any of us have. Except he knows how to daven. You may not know how to daven. So go to the Talmud Chacham, and he will teach you how to do it. Those are two divergent schools of thought as to what a leader is supposed to be. According to the first perspective, a leader does it for you. He is the one who is extra righteous, and he knows more, and he does it for you. And you benefit from what he does. That's called Asher Yelchu Lefanenu. Give us a power who will walk in front of us. He'll be the trailblazer. He'll be the one who does it. That's what a leader is. And for that, an ego, a golden calf, is sufficient. You need a power, some kind of extra superpower, so a golden calf is even a greater superpower than a frail human being. But the other perspective is the chacham, the tzaddik, the leader, is not the one who does it for you, but he's the one who teaches you how to do it. That's his purpose, education. He educates you either by teaching you, or by being a good example. And by following his example, you can do what he does. He's no different than you are. Except he put in the effort to become what he was. So he can now teach you and inspire you and give you an example of how to do what he does. Maybe not on the same level, but a similar level. Based on this, I want to explain and it could be that the Nemuke Yosef also holds, that the ultimate purpose of a leader is what the Meiri says, education, example, inspiration. But until that happens, he'll do it for you. But that's not the goal. The goal is ultimately that he should teach you how to do what he can do. You have somebody who's sick in your home, right? So the Talmud Chacham will teach you how to daven. But it may take a while, and that person can't wait. So until he'll teach you, he'll do it for you. But that's not the goal. That's not the ideal. The ideal is take the time so that Chas V'Shalom, the next time you have somebody to daven for, you'll know how to do it yourself. He'll teach you how to dial, but until you learn how to dial, he'll dial for you. With that, I want to explain a medrash in this coming week's Sedra. The medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's, let's put it into the context of the sentences, the difference between Elohim Asher Yelchu Lefaneinu, a power that will walk before us, is very different than Asher Yotzi'ein V'Asher Yivi'ein, one who will take them out and bring them in, who will go out from amongst them and come back to them. The leader is not someone out there in front. He comes from them, he brings them out, he teaches and guides them, not that he does it for them. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu's description of his job was. The Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked God to replace him, to appoint a replacement, a leader in his place, so God said, Ad shetitzaveni al bonai, before you command me about my children, titzavu bonai olai. First command my children about me. You're asking me to do something for my children, first tell them to do something for me. And the Medrash gives a mashal. A king was dying, and his wife came and asked that he appoint, the king's wife was dying. And the king, her husband, was by her bedside, and she said to her husband, after I leave this world, please take care of my children. Our children. Right? Take care of them. So the king said, before you tell me to take care of your children, tell your children to make sure that they honor me properly. Same thing. God said, before you tell me to take care of the Jewish people and give them a leader, you tell them to make the sacrifices. The next Seder, the next Parsha in Seder Pinchas is all the sacrifices of the Musafim, the additional sacrifices of every single day. What's the meaning of this? God says, before I do them something, let them do something for me. I think the idea is the following. The idea of a sacrifice is a person vicariously, through the animal, bringing out his potential, his unique powers, abilities, capabilities, in service of God. And just like every day of the year, there are special days in the year where the regular sacrifice isn't enough, where you bring an additional sacrifice to represent the qualities of that day, Rosh Hashanah, its qualities, Yom Kippur, its qualities, Pesach, its qualities, and so on. Those are the korbanos musaf, those are the additional sacrifices that represent the unique qualities of special days. Every Jew is special, and every Jew has his sacrifice to make, his unique talents, abilities, and capabilities in service of God. Now, if a leader is just there to do it for you, so appoint a leader and that's it. But if the leader is there to educate the people, to bring out their potential, their qualities, their talents, abilities, and capabilities, then before a leader has any meaning and any effectiveness, you have to command the people to know to bring out their talents, abilities, and capabilities. Because if they're not interested in working on that, then the leader is not going to be effective. If you understand that the leader is there to help them bring out what they can do, to bring out their potential. So therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, before you command me to appoint a leader, first let them know that they have to do something. that they have to develop themselves. Then the leader can help them develop it to its greatest potential. But if they think that they're just going to sit back and let somebody else do it for them, then the leader is meaningless. That's the meaning of that medrash. In other words, the marshal also, the king said to his wife, if you want me to be able to relate to the children, you're going to have to make them relate to me. Because if they're not interested in relating to me, I can do everything and it won't help. So I can be a father to them if they want to be children. But I can't force myself on them. Right? I can be a leader who is totally separated. Right? I can be a father who just does it for them. But that's not what you want. You want me to be a father who guides them, who educates them. So first command them that they should want to get that. They should understand that. That's the motion. With that, we can also explain something from this coming week's Seder. Coming week's Pirkei Avos. We're going to read the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avos this week. And in there is the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was walking from place to place, and he met a man who said Shalom Aleichem to him, and he answered him Shalom. And the man asked him, where do you come from? So he said, I come from a city of great Talmidei Chachamim, right? A city full of scholars. So the man said to Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, I come from a city where there are no scholars. Ritzoncha shetadur imanu bimkomeinu, would you like to live with us in our place? And I will give you money, silver, gold, precious gems, no limit. Just come and live with us in our place. Now, if you were Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, how would you respond to that? What? Yeah, I would too. Right? Here, how do you think any Torah place ever got started? People came and built it into a place of Torah. The only problem sometimes was the money. Here there's no problem. An unlimited budget. So you're being offered unlimited funds to build a new place of Torah. Come, bring your friends, bring a kollel, bring a yeshiva, make a girls' school. You'll build a new place of Torah. So why did Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma answer not like that? Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma answered, you can give me all the money in the world. I will only live in a place of Torah. Seems like he's going to stay where he was. So I saw a commentary on this, which I don't know if it's a simple meaning of the Mishnah, but it's very cute. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said the following, I don't like the wording of the invitation. The wording of the invitation, there is a redundancy here. Ritzoncha shetadur imanu bimkomeinu. Would you like to live with us in our place? Obviously, if it's with us, it's in our place. And if it's in our place, it's with us. They say what it means is the following. The invitation was, would you like to live with us, bimkomeinu, and take our place? You put on tefillin for us. You keep Shabbos for us. You eat kosher for us. You learn Torah for us. You'll do it for us. You will be in our place. You'll be with us, and you will do in our place what we perhaps should be doing, but you're the leader. You'll do it. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, nothing doing. If I'm going to come to your place, right, I won't do it in your place. I will do it with you. I'll teach you how to do it. But I'm not going to be the token Talmud Chacham in your place, right, to do it for you. That's not what a leader is. That's not what a Talmud Chacham is. I'm going to live in a Makom Torah. I'm going to make your place a Makom Torah. I'm going to create for you a Makom Torah. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to guide you. But I'm not going to live in with you and be in your place. Take your place and do it for you. That not. That was the give and take with Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. In order to do this, you have to have the right look at a leader too. It's not just what the leader knows what he has to do, it's how you look at him too. When I first came to Eretz Yisrael as a tourist, first time I was here, so we went, my wife and myself, to all the Mekomos HaKdoshim on our own. We didn't go with a tour, we went on our own. Not that I suggest you do that. They're very fine tour guides or whatever, and what's it called? You should take advantage of them. Artsenu, that's the name. Artsenu Tours. I don't get a commission. But on the other hand, we decided we're going to do it on our own. So after a few days of this, my wife turned to me and she says, you know, isn't it odd that every Makom Kodesh that we've been at, except for the Kosel Hamaravi, is a grave? All we've been doing is visiting graves. Why are those the Makomos HaKadoshim? A grave, a Kohen can't go there, you become Tamei, right? Why is that the Makom HaKodesh? Wouldn't it be better if we had Rabbi Akiva's Beis Medrash, his Shtender, the Gemara he learned from, which is not really the case, it's an anachronism, he didn't learn from the Gemara, he learned by heart. But whatever, right? Not his grave. Why are all the holy places in Israel graves? Why is that the place where we venerate the tzaddikim? So, something else happened when I first came to Eretz Yisrael, and putting the two things together, I came together with my Rosh Hashiva, my Gifter Zatzal, to an understanding. Before I came to Eretz Yisrael, I was never here, and it was the first time I was going to be here. I had a balabos in Miami, playing Poshita, he was a printer, he was a sailor, we spoke about him a few stories in the past. And the first time he went to Eretz Yisrael, he came back, and he told me that he was, when he first went to the Kosel Hamaravi, right, he thought he was going to die. His heart started skipping beats, and he, started to hyperventilate, and it was unbelievably an experience that really overwhelmed him. So I said to myself, wow, if that's the way this plain, ordinary person felt, right, I'm probably going to have to bring, you know, Hatsala with me and the oxygen or whatever. Who knows what's going to happen? So my brother-in-law lived here already, and I asked him to pick me up from the airport and take my wife and myself from the plane to the Kosel, first thing, to Daven Mincha. And he did. We get to the Kosel, and I go to Daven Mincha, toward Kriya. It's a wall. Davening, I don't feel anything. I felt really guilty and embarrassed. Like, you know, this balabos felt like he felt, and who knows what's it called? Maybe I don't have a neshama. Who knows what? You know, I started looking up. Maybe got to look into my genealogy. Maybe, you know, who knows what? Finally, I got enough guts to tell my wife about it. And after thinking about it, and in answer to her question too, I came up with the following idea. Since I never was in Eretz Yisrael, I pictured something ethereal. I imagined Yerushalayim, a place where people walk around in robes and with donkeys on dirt paths.
There are a lot of people that do that.
Right. I'm not talking about the women in... I'm talking about what it looked like 1,000 years ago. Right? And the Kosel Hamaravi is for sure some kind of wall made of things that are shining, right, like a discotheque. At least, what's it called, Lahavdol? At least, what's it called, at least suspended a few inches off the ground, floating in the air. That's what I had pictured, something not from this world. And I was rudely awakened to the fact that Yerushalayim has traffic lights and traffic jams and asphalt streets and nobody's walking around with donkeys pretty much. Right? Not the four-legged variety, a lot of two-legged varieties, but not four-legged varieties. And the Kosel Hamaravi was a wall with regular stones like any other wall. But it took time to sink in that that is what Kedusha is. Kedusha is not something not from this world. Kedusha is this world, but infused with tremendous holiness. That's what makes it holy. If we'll be something from out of this world, it's a big deal. Out of this world is for sure something that is spiritual and holy. The big deal is that you have the same matter, the same gashmius, the same this world, and it's infused with holiness. That's what makes it special. And that's the same answer to my wife's question. Why are the Makomos HaKadoshim the graves of tzaddikim? Because if you look at leaders, what they're supposed to be, educators, to lead and inspire, not to do it for you. then it's important to see them in the right perspective, to see them as human beings who you can emulate. But if you see them as supermen and women, then how can you emulate them? When I was 2-3 years old, my mother, Aleh Hashalom, told me I used to put a towel around my neck and try to fly from bed to bed. Baruch Hashem, I didn't try to fly out the window. I thought I was Superman. Sometimes I think that still, but in any case, at that age, I learned very fast that I wasn't. And so it's very nice if you look at Gedolim as supermen and great women as superwomen. It's very entertaining, and there are many books written about Gedolim like that. They are entertaining, but otherwise they're useless. Because what in the world do you have a shyness with supermen and superwomen? Right? Read a Superman comic. It's just as entertaining. There are books written about Gedolim that portray them as human beings, but great human beings. Human beings just like you and I. But they developed their potential into something beyond this world. But they didn't do it because they're supermen and superwomen. They did it because they developed it. And you can do it too. You may not develop it as much. You don't have the potential they have. But you'll be able to develop your potential. One example of a book that is written about a gadol that portrays him as a human being is Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky by Jonathan Rosenblum. That's a book that's written in a way that portrays Rav Yaakov. I knew Rav Yaakov. He used to spend his winters in Miami. That portrays him as he was. And remember, after Moshe Feinstein was nifter, one of his relatives wrote a letter to a newspaper. He said, "Why are they portraying my relative," I won't go into more detail of who it was, "my relative as being something beyond nature? He finished Shas 400 times. If you figure out how much time a person lives and how long it takes, he couldn't have finished Shas 400 times. He had other things to do. He was writing tshuvas. He was learning other things. If he learned Shas from morning to night every single day, he wouldn't have finished 400 times. Why attribute to him things that are impossible to do when there's so many things that he did? You don't have to make up things. Why don't you say how he held his grandchildren on his lap? Right? This great man. And he was a great grandfather." That's what you should put in these books. Not things that are fairy tales. You don't need to make up fairy tales about Rav Moshe Feinstein. There's enough true things to say of the human quality. So if you look at Gedolim, and even though Chazal say, "Im Rishonim Kemalachim Anu Kibnei Adam," if the earlier people were like angels, then we're like people. And if they were like people, then we're like donkeys. It doesn't say if they were angels. It says if they were like angels. Yeah, they were like angels. But they were human beings who made themselves like angels. And you're a human being also. You could also make yourself like an angel. Each one according to his potential. But if you look at the gadol as something that you can emulate, that you can learn from, he's not a superman. He's a human being who made himself into something special, and you can do that too, then there's a purpose. Then that's what a leader is supposed to be. And that's why, you know where we venerate great tzaddikim and tzidkanios? On their grave. Because they were plain, ordinary flesh and blood human beings. You know how I know? They're buried right there. Just like everybody else. And yet, look what they accomplished when they were alive. And that's why when the Sultan wanted them to think that Moshe was dead and they needed something to replace him, he showed them Moshe Rabbeinu floating in the air in a funeral buyer, right? Something ethereal. And they said, "Wow, this super person, okay, he died, but he's still floating in the air. People don't float in the air when they're dead. So he's beyond us. We need a power. And if we're going to have a super person, then better a super eagle. Right, something gold will last a lot longer than flesh and blood." So they look for something to take their place. Some power to do it for them, in their place, instead of them. When Moshe Rabbeinu was ready to die, really, regular death, and he was buried somewhere. We don't know where he's buried, but we know he was buried. He wasn't floating in the air. That's when Moshe asked for a replacement. "You should know I'm flesh and blood, but that flesh and blood is something that can give you an example to follow an inspiration, education, whatever. Therefore, we need a new leader, similar. Ish al ha'edah, not Elohim, not a power, a godly power, but an ish, a regular person. Ish al ha'edah, appoint a human being who will be able to teach and inspire, bring out the people, bring them back in, come from with amongst them, and be an example to them.